Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HFCL Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. We have with us on the call Mr. Mahendra Nahata, Managing Director and Promoter, Mr. V.R. Jain, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj Baid, Company Secretary, Mr. Amit Agarwal, Head Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahendra Nahata. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome to HFCL's earnings call for quarter two of financial year 2023. I truly appreciate and express my gratitude for making it to HFCL's earnings call for second quarter of first half of financial year 2023. I'm sure that you got a chance to go through our financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which are available on the website of the company and also on the website of stock exchanges. For HFCL, quarter two of financial year 2023 has turned out to be quite promising. We were able to continue on our sustainable growth path, which was fueled by some key product launches, including world's first open source Wi-Fi 7 access points, 5G AT8R macro radio unit, and 5G Lab as a Service during India Mobile Congress 2022, South Asia's largest digital forum. As a technology-driven enterprise with a significant thrust on innovating future 5G products, for which we have collaborated with industry leaders like Qualcomm. This will create huge opportunities for our new products based on 5G technologies like 5G AT8R macro radio unit, 5G indoor and outdoor small cell, and 5G millimeter wave fixed wireless access customer premise equipment products in the domestic and global markets. The other strategic priority during this quarter was on expansion in key global markets, including United States and Europe, to further support our strategic direction to become a product-led global player in optical fiber cables and telecom products and solutions space. By winning some key orders from Reliance Retail, BSNL, and RailTel, we have been able to close quarter two of financial year 2023 with an order book of more than rupees 5,200 crores. The global macro environment continues to be challenging and dynamic. However, with the advent of 5G, the opportunity landscape for manufacturers in the telecom and technology industry looks promising and has grown manifold. It has also given rise to a spike in demand for optical fiber cables and telecom and networking products. The deployment of a robust 5G infrastructure in the next couple of quarters will enable enterprises to embark on the digital transformation journey across the sectors. The current global demand for optical fiber cable is 600 million fiber kilometer equivalent cable. Since over 95% demand is witnessed in global markets, and given the competitiveness of our portfolio in optical fiber cable equipment and end-to-end network solutions, we aspire to cater to more markets and more customers. The development of revolutionary yet indigenous technology and products has positioned Indian companies like us in the forefront of global technology leadership. We have already established a successful and strong footprint in 30+ countries, serving 80+ clients globally in optical fiber cables and telecom products. We have our employees in Dubai, France, Germany, England, US, Kenya to further widespread our presence and deepen our customer reach. Apart from this, we have also appointed dealers and distributors in many countries to cater global demand. Over the next 3 years, we aim to build upon our global customer relations and export footprints expeditiously and emerge as a large global player in this space. Our export revenue has grown by 88% in quarter two of financial year 2023 on year-to-year basis. In this half year of financial year 23, export revenue stood at 376 crores compared to 171 crores in H1 of financial year 22, showing an increase of 120%. We are all well on our mission to double the export revenue during the current financial year. This trend is expected to continue in coming years as well. Zooming into the Indian context, in order to create a strong 5G network infrastructure in India, the telecom industry will witness an investment of rupees 3.5 to 4 lakh crores in the next 5 years to facilitate 5G services rollout. Indian telcos are estimated to spend between $1.5 to $2.5 billion on optical fiber cables alone in the next 3 to 4 years. The domestic optical fiber cable market environment continues to be strong, with the current market demand of optical fiber cable products at 35 to 40 million fiber kilometers per annum, which is expected to grow significantly over the next few years on account of creation of 5G network across the country, expansion of existing 4G networks, deployment of fiber to the home networks, implementation of BharatNet projects, which will lead to all the villages of the country being connected by optical fiber cable, and creation of multiple data centers across the length and breadth of the country. In India, BharatNet alone will lead to an opportunity of laying 16 lakh kilometers of optical fiber cable, transmitting almost 50 million fiber kilometers. There is tremendous opportunity in global markets as well. We have witnessed that the governments of leading economies, including United States, United Kingdom, Germany, and in Europe, are investing heavily on building robust fiber connectivity for the deployment of 5G network and FTTH networks. The global market demand of optical fiber cable is about 600 million fiber kilometers per annum, and it is estimated to grow to 1,000 million fiber kilometers per annum over the next 5 years. We also see immense opportunities for telecom and networking production and system integration across the globe as part of 5G rollouts, especially in markets like Europe and US. We have identified Europe and US to be the key markets to focus on for further deepening our global footprints. During this quarter, we also entered into a crucial partnership with Qualcomm for design and development of 5G, millimeter wave, fixed wireless access, customer premises equipment products, and 5G outdoor small cell product development. All these initiatives and significant alliances will enable HFCL to expand its 5G product portfolio by launching various products gradually for India and global markets. And these products shall enhance 5G user experience and contribute for efficient utilization of 5G spectrum. Another significant highlight in our participation at the India Mobile Congress this year, the largest digital technologies forum in South Asia, with our Honorable Prime Minister inaugurating the launch of 5G at the event. The world witnessed every key telecom and technology player showcasing their latest and most innovative solutions. HFCL took this opportunity to launch some significant new offerings, including world's first open source Wi-Fi 7 access points. With this launch, your company is the world's first and first OEM in India to launch open source Wi-Fi 7 access points designed to deliver extremely high throughput, generating speed of more than 10 gigabits per second. With a strong background of R&D, our line of Wi-Fi 7 products is bound to enable telecom operators to deliver better user experience than earlier, bringing us a step closer to Metaverse. At the India Mobile Congress, we also launched the first product from our 5G product family, 5G 88R macro radio unit, which is modular in design and can be easily customized to support any sub-6 GHz frequency band to address the global markets. 5G is bound to accelerate the adoption of virtualization and cloud-native technologies. Our next-generation radio unit combines the power of vRAN based on open standards to accelerate 5G deployment. 5G Lab as a Service was another significant launch at the Indian Mobile Congress. HFCL is one of the few companies in the country to launch 5G Lab as a Service. Telecom operators are adopting multi-vendor networks based on cloud-native technology for faster and cost-effective rollout of 5G services and for improved user experience. Our lab as a service situated in Bangalore will provide an automated test environment for the private sector, academia, and government to work together on product innovation from concept to reality, thereby accelerating rollout of 5G solutions and services both India and globally. I would also like to mention that STL Limited, our material subsidiary, has established a state-of-the-art polymer compounding facility as backward integration at its Hosur plant in Tamil Nadu for manufacturing of polyethylene-based compounds of various grades and colors, which are required as raw material for manufacturing of optical fiber cables. With our optical fiber capacity expansion coupled with the vast opportunity landscape, this backward integration will enable us to improve our profitability, and with availability of multiple grades of polymer, it will further help us to tap more customers in domestic and global markets. Let me now brief you on key performance metrics of quarter 2 of financial year 23. Revenue of Q2 financial year 23 stood at 1173 crores as compared to 1051 crores in Q1 of financial year 23 and 1122 crores of Q2 of financial year 22. EBITDA for the quarter at rupees 175 crores is as compared to 130 crores in quarter 1 and 173 crores in quarter 2 of FY22. EBITDA margin stands at 14.88% for the quarter 2 of financial year 23 as compared to 12.35% of quarter 1 and it stood at 15.44% in quarter 2 of FY22. For quarter 2 FY23, profit after tax stands at 84 crores. For quarter 2 FY23, profit after tax stands at rupees 84 crores as compared to 53 crores of quarter 1 of FY23 and 86 crores of quarter 2 of FY22. PAT margin stands at 7.18% in quarter 2 as compared to 5.05% in quarter 1 of FY23 and 7.66% in quarter 2 of FY22. Segment revenue of telecom products during the quarter stood at 671 crores as compared to 620 crores. From our financial performance, you would kindly appreciate that on the backdrop of easing supply chain disruption and improvement in input costs, we have been able to demonstrate healthy growth in our revenue and margins over the last quarter. We believe that our revenue and margins will continue to grow with all initiatives taken in last few quarters. We have also applied for design link incentive scheme for telecom and networking products and are committed to invest a sum of rupees 425 crores over a period of 4 years. We expect to receive the approval from the government anytime now. And this investment will support various stages of the development and deployment of futuristic range of technology products and solutions. With a major focus on the 5G revolution, HFCL is witnessing a transformation towards emerging as a high-tech global enterprise and integrated next-gen network solution provider. As a result, a leader in telecom equipment optical fiber cable manufacturing in the country, we will continue to offer more robust and high-tech solutions with open source technology. To conclude, I would like to say that as we are already witnessing a strong demand for our 5G products, optical fiber cables, and integrated network solutions, both in India and globally, we will continue to leverage our capabilities and continue with our strategy of tapping new customers, new geographies, and new products. Thank you once again for your keen participation. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My questions are, you have built a very good defense portfolio. So my questions are on that part of the business. If you can talk about a little bit on the electronic fuses and electrical optical devices, what is the order book like, where we are in terms of scaling that business, that would be helpful.
Yeah, Aman, thank you very much for a good question. In fact, you know, as you would know, defense equipment being developed and being put in operation takes a lot of time because of the very rigorous testing going on. In terms of our electronic fuses, we have already offered it to the Indian Army for testing. And the testing work is still in progress, you know, it has still not ended. There have been certain issues in testing which the Indian industry has gone back to government and told them to redo the testing because of certain issues. So those work is in progress. Results are not yet out. And I expect good business emerge from electronic fuses, not only in India, but abroad also because we have IPR on this. But yes, there are no orders available at this point of time because this testing and all that takes a long amount of time in different sources. And same stands for electro-optic devices, where we have got a small order from Northern Command, which is under execution. But larger orders, we have participated in tenders, which are results are not yet out. So it will take certain amount of time still. Why, as I have been telling earlier also, we expect revenues to start from defense products in the next financial year, that is 23-24 only. This is the time for development and testing. Revenues start flowing in from
23-24. Sure, sir. A little bit of clarification. So,
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Vij. The audio is breaking from your line, so please check.
Yeah. Is it better?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, sir. I just wanted more clarification, sir. We had mentioned that we had bid for 5 million fuses. So that order is cancelled or what has happened to that order?
No. Testing is in progress. There have been certain issues for all the Indian private companies who had participated. And we have gone back to government and asked them to redo the testing part of it. And that is under consideration in government. It has still not been finalized. Neither the order has been finalized on anybody, nor the financial bids have been as yet opened.
Okay, sir. And you have mentioned in the presentation that this, for example, electronic fuses can be 0.39 billion in FY25. Sir, in this year, what is the current size of the market in FY25?
In the current financial year, no orders have been placed on the private industry. Government is buying from the PSUs only. So we don't know the real size of the market. But yes, from the 2 years or 25 and all that, you know, whatever you have mentioned in the presentation, that holds good.
And how much market share do you think we can gather out of that 0.39 billion market size? And how many private players have bid for the same tender, if you can talk about
it? Three private players. And it's very difficult at the moment to say the market size because, you know, the tender would be awarded to one company or maybe government later on defense to multiple companies. We do not know. So it's very difficult to predict that how much market share we will have. But yes, you know, numerically, I think we should expect some 20-25% market share at least.
Sure. And if you can mention the names of the other players who are big?
Other players have been apart from us, I think HBL from Hyderabad is there. And there is one more company from near Delhi, which I don't remember the name. But yes, there is one more company. There are three private companies.
Is it for AAN Enterprises?
I don't remember the name, Aman.
Sure. That helps. So on the fuses side, sir, there are different kind of fuses. On your website, you have mentioned proximity fuses and all those things. So we have developed all these products in-house?
Yeah, these are all developed by our own company with help from some foreign partners who are R&D contractors, and the IPR completely rests with the company. So you can call it an in-house development.
Okay, but you had mentioned in the presentation we are the only Indian company to do it. So the other two players don't.
One company, yes, one company at least I know, they have got a foreign collaboration. The company near Delhi. The HBL, I do not know, very sure that whether it's their own development or whether they have got any partnership. I'm not too sure. But at that time, when we said this in the presentation, that is, all these kinds of fuses have been developed by us, it was true. But HBL, I do not know at the moment that whether it is there any partnership or local development.
Sure, sir. And you mentioned next year you expect some revenue. So if you can quantify, okay, how the scaling can happen, say FY24, what kind of revenue?
This all depends upon when the tender is open, Aman.
Okay, but do we expect a, say, 100, 200 crore kind of?
There will be more questions. You can come back in the queue once, I think there are too many questions. You can come back in the queue.
Sure.
But you have last question. What is your last question you can ask?
Yeah, sir, my last question was on the, say, electro-optics part. So the market is quite big. You have mentioned $3 billion, but we are only developing, say, example, one product. I don't know how many products you are developing. Say, night vision goggles we are developing as per your presentation.
Not goggles. Not goggles. It is not a goggle. It is a night vision sight mounted on a rifle or a machine gun. It's a night vision sight, not a goggle.
Yeah, sorry. My mistake, sir. So you have mentioned electronic fuses, maybe we can maybe get 20-25% market share, but electro-optics is a much bigger market.
I'm again expecting. I'm not sure whether it is 20%, 15%, or 50%, but that is what the reasonable expectation is. In terms of electro-optic devices, there are multiple players in the country. There are six, seven different players, in my opinion. So again, one should expect some 10-15% market share on a numerical basis, but then it will depend upon tender to tender how much you win.
Thank you. Mr. Vij, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hardik Vyas from Economic Times. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, we have been talking a lot about the 5G opportunity and
Mr. Vyas, sorry to interrupt you. Please use the handset mode. The audio.
Yeah, I'm on the handset. I'm on the handset. Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Hardik, please speak a little loudly.
Yeah. So, when do we see the execution for the 5G products happening and the 5G services as in laying down of the network for various network operators and of course the BharatNet happening? How soon do we see the execution happening for 5G?
Look, BharatNet and 5G are two separate issues. BharatNet is not envisaging any 5G. BharatNet, government is very keenly working on this at present, as I understand. And they're looking at a model of EPC kind of a model, where they will select companies out of a tender to build this BharatNet network, which is connecting every village of the country through fiber optic cable. Now, the cable will reach to some center point of the village. But from there on, I think government would ask operators to give connectivity to different households on a commercial basis. So what this project entails is laying down fiber optic cable and related equipment to all these villages. So this does not contain 5G. 5G may come later on in this area. Now, coming to the 5G products, as I said, we will be putting it in the operator's networks on a trial basis starting 2 to 3 months from now. And once the trials are over, if operators require some change, we will have to do that. But that is a normal issue because different operators have different software and graphic user interface issues, which will be changed as per their requirement. And we expect revenue to start coming up in the beginning of the Q1 of the next financial year.
Okay.
So, as I understand it right, in the current revenues and up to now, there has not been any 5G component. It's been a regular business apart from 5G.
Yes, 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 you are absolutely right. There's no 5G component at the moment. We have launched the product just recently. It has to go through the field trials on the operators' networks, and then the production, and then the revenue. It's a bit of a few months cycle. But we are very well on the process.
Okay.
Yeah, but we are very.
Okay, so my second question is on the software-defined radios. How big is the opportunity, and when are we likely to tap it in terms of revenues, and so when do we see it in numbers?
The software-defined radio is for the army, and that development is in progress. And we are to submit samples in sometime in December to Indian Army after development. So, and then the sample would be field tried and, you know, tenders would be there. So I think that reasonably, if you say that, major market opportunity for this software-defined radio is 2024-25. But the market size is very large in a sense that, you know, majority of the radios of Indian Army, maybe the all of them, will be switched on to the software-defined radio in few years' time. The total market opportunity, if I remember well, is not less than 40,000 crores.
Okay. Okay. So, the next year is going to be 5G heavy in terms of execution and revenues and margins, and everything will be driven on the back of exports and 5G, more or less, if I'm understanding it right.
Look, in the next year, you know, we expect good amount of revenue to come from not only 5G, but other products also, telecom products which we have.
Yeah. So the current business plus 5G.
Yeah, current business and the new products which we are also doing right now, which include routers, switches, those are also the products which are required in 5G and non-5G applications also, on all kind of networks. So those products, coupled with 5G, and then, of course, our current range of products will bring in revenue for the next year.
And BharatNet as well would contribute to the revenues and profitability in the next year, right?
Look, you know, while doing our internal projections for next year, we have not taken into account BharatNet as yet.
Okay.
Once the BharatNet comes, you know, it may be, we may be able to improve our internal projections, but as yet, we have not taken that into account.
Okay, thank you so much. That is all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Sir, congratulations again on the exciting presentation and explanation. Sir, my question was more regarding towards the opportunity on rail networking, which we have not highlighted in your comment. That was number one. And second was, I want to.
Repeat, Mr. Shah, repeat, which networking?
Rail.
Oh, rail networking.
Yeah.
Okay.
And connecting to that.
Yeah,
my question was regarding that you throw out some of doing a CapEx of 425 crores with some government. Can you elaborate on that? Do we need to understand on that, sir?
Okay. So on the railway network, good question, Mr. Shah. You know, in a few minutes presentation, I could not highlight every opportunity. But that's one area we are doing good business. In fact, as I've been saying, we are implementing couple of networks abroad. In India also, we are working on six or seven different railway projects, which are subcontracted to us by the key turnkey players. But now, directly, we are implementing the metro network of telecom network of the metros of Kanpur and Agra. This is directly awarded to HFCL of 230 crores or so of that particular railway network. We have also participated directly for Surat and Ahmedabad, the metro rail networks, telecom metros, telecom networks. So then we are going to participate in a couple of more such opportunities. So I'm sure this revenue from railway telecom networking should result in giving us a reasonable revenue every year, something like 500 crores or so. I reasonably expect with so many tenders we have participated, so many more opportunities are there, we should be able to get a reasonably good amount of revenue. And, you know, government is going to modernize telecom and signaling network of entire railways in any case. So there will be more such opportunities coming up, and we are developing this business, and we have emerged as one of the leading companies in the country which is doing such kind of a networking for railways, which is, as I said, multiple places we are doing in India, couple of places we are doing abroad. Now coming to your second question, 425 crores, this of course includes expenditure on R&D also. This is as per this DLI scheme, design-led equipment manufacturing incentive scheme which government has announced, and we have projected an investment of 425 crores, which includes R&D investment, because the DLI scheme allows R&D as an investment, as a part of the overall incentive scheme. So some 425 crores is R&D, and the new infrastructure which we will create for manufacturing telecom products is worth, put together, is 425 crores. This DLI scheme is under consideration of government, and I understand whatever discussion I had with the government officials during India Mobile Congress, they are expected to announce finalization of this scheme, I think at mostly within next 1 month they should announce it. That is what I expect, and I expect that HFCL will be definitely be a part of it.
That's great. So, sir, we are entering into an exciting period, as you cited, was the 5G, defense, rail, this DLI scheme. Then what incremental capex we need for next 2-3 years, and how we line up that?
Look, some of the capex which we are implementing projects right now, this fiber optic cable manufacturing capacity expansion and the fiber manufacturing expansion. Part of the money we already raised in the last QIP, and the balance is being funded through the debt from the banks. And the next phase of expansion, when we do, of course, we have not decided the numbers as yet, but it is under consideration. But whenever we do, it would be a mixture of debt and equity.
Okay, so will that be a major capex needed for that to participate in the growth story?
Well, I don't know at the moment the current, that what amount of capex will be required, but it would not be so big, that is outnumbers the size of the company. It would be within the reasonable numbers.
Understand. Right, sir. Thank you. Thanks for explanation. It was really helpful. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, Mr. Balasubramanian. Yeah, Mr. Balasubramanian. Good morning. Please go ahead.
Sir, I'm audible. Sir, I have a few questions regarding the R&D. Past few years, we have spent around 126 crores. Right now, we are focusing around 150 crore target. So, apart from 150 crore, we have to spend the remaining amount for capex, right, sir, for this year. So, what kind of quantum we may expect for next 6 months?
Look, this year's expenditure on R&D is 150 crores we have estimated, and that is what is the burn rate is at this point of time. Because we are doing R&D in multiple areas, as I have explained. Wi-Fi, UDR, 5G, routers, switches, software-defined radios. Some of the R&D is being done by our team. Some of the places R&D is being done by the contract R&D players, which are working for us and designing equipment for us with our own IPR. So all this put together is the amount of expenditure we have talked about. Now, when you say that if you are asking the question of 425 crores, how it is going to be spent, as I said, part of that would be R&D, part of that would be capital infrastructure.
Okay, sir. Sir, I'm looking into CapEx plan. Right now, we are into 10 million fiber kilometer for optic fiber capacity. So it is mentioned around 22 the target, million fiber kilometer. So what is the timeline for that?
I think, that expansion is going to happen in Hyderabad, in our current facility. And the timeline, the work is already starting. I think it should take about 12 months to complete this. About 12 months.
About 12
give months. Or take to, give or take a couple of months here then, but about 12 months.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Because, the construction time and delivery time of fiber of fiber manufacturing equipment is very, very high at this moment because of the worldwide demand which has happened. The delivery time for machines, you know, it takes almost 9 months to a year. And then installation, commissioning, and the construction of building will itself take a long time because the 45-meter high towers and all that, it takes a lot of time, but within 12 months, you should be able to commission it.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Sir, in terms of defense exports, the market size around 12,500 to 13,000 crores, and it is expected around 42,000 crores by FY25. It's almost more than 3x, but we are focusing on growing 2x. So we can expect more, or it is sufficient?
I think we are talking of two different things. You know, we are not talking of growing exports in defense. We are talking of growing exports in fiber optic cable and telecom equipment. You know, if you really look at how our exports have grown up, you know, it's a good question, but maybe slightly differently I can answer. You know, exports, we have been putting a lot of emphasis. Our export, if you look at, in year ending March 21, financial year 21 was just 193 crores. It increased to 353 crores in 2022, financial year 21-22. Now, in this year itself, in the first 6 months itself, we have crossed that. We have reached to 376 crores. So as I have been saying, we will double our exports this year from the last year 353 crores. We are on the track. The first 6 months itself, we have gone to 376 crores. So we have absolutely no reason to say that we will not be able to grow to 100% from the last financial year. So we are working on a target of 750 crores. Our run rate is very, very much within that target, and we should be able to double our exports. We have a high thrust on exports, you know, which is cable and equipment. Right now, it is more of cable, but as I said, from the next year onwards, we will start exporting our equipment also. Some export has started this year, but major export will happen in the next year. So with increase in export of fiber optic cable and then the export of telecom equipment, we expect to continue this trend of increased exports every year from our company.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Sir, you are talking about that polymer or polythene-based manufacturing plan for backward integrations. Could you please throw more light on that?
Yeah, sure. You know, look, we use this plastic compounds for manufacture of fiber optic cable, like SDPE. We, all our factories put together, we have about consumption of 2.5 crore kgs of this SDPE polymer for manufacture of cable. Now you get natural color this HDPE compound from the refinery. Now earlier what we used to do, there are people who do the compounding, means making it in a different colors, because in fiber optic cable, different people want different colors and different tubes have got different colors. So you need different colors. So we used to buy it from different people who do the compounding and then sell it to us. So they were intermediaries. So we did the economics, and we said like if we do ourselves this compounding, we'll save a lot of money. Roughly about 6 rupees a kg, about 6 rupees a kg, we would be saving by doing the compounding ourselves. This means on 2.5 crore kgs, you will be saving something like, you can say 18, 19 crores, 15 to 18 crores, 6 to 7 rupees a kg per year by doing the compounding ourselves, whereas the whole project cost was 17 and 18 crores, something like that. So by investing about 17, 18 crores, you would be saving 15, 16 crores every year. So his ROI is just 1 year. So this saves us money and gives us better profitability and better competitiveness. And this production has already started in Hosur, in our plant, which is owned by STL, our subsidiary. And this manufacturing has already started.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it. Thank you, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Khandwala from Khandwala Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for the fantastic results. So two questions. Prima facie, would like to understand the latest news which came on HFCL and Qualcomm. Like, what is the opportunity for HFCL? And if you could give us some fair bit of idea in terms of this 5G outdoor small cell development. and how that will benefit HFCL and Qualcomm in this entire 5G network opportunity. And the second question is, if you could give me some fair bit of idea on the order book. And in the presentation, you mentioned that there is some USD breakup given, so, and the export market. So if you could give me a clarity on that, please.
Yeah, thank you, Kunal. First of all, let me come to the 5G product development. We have done two agreements with Qualcomm, not one, two.
Okay.
One is, of course, this 5G outdoor small cell, and second is 5G fixed wireless, access terminal. Now, let me explain both the products. Outdoor small cell is required to fill in the gaps in the network. When the telecom operators do their networking and install large cells, there are gaps in between where the signals are not able to reach. Particularly in 5G, the spectrum used is of a higher level. In 2G, 3G, we were using up to 2.3 GHz in 3G, 4G, for example. Now, here it has become 3.5 GHz. So there are gaps in the holes in the network at various places. Or wherever the capacity requirement is high, operators start putting small cells instead of large cells. It has happened quite a large scale in 4G networks also. A huge amount of small cells have been put by the operators. So the requirement of outdoor small cells in 4G would be even higher. So we are going to manufacture, design and manufacture these 5G small cells for outdoor application using this Qualcomm platform. Qualcomm platform, we will be designing and manufacturing this small cell. And market is expected to be very, very high, India and abroad both, because 5G networks are being implemented all over. The second product which we have done is the fixed wireless access CPE, again using the Qualcomm platform. Now, FWA CPE is required in the places where you need fiber-like speed at home or at office without fiber. What would happen? This FWA CPE would be acting on the 5G network, would install at home, taking throughput from 5G network. It will give a fiber-like connectivity at home. So operators are doing FTTH as well as they would do FWA also. Now, FTTH, they would do at a place where the dense requirement of fiber optic connection is required. There, they would lay down fiber. Wherever the requirement is not so big, the few people would want fiber-like connectivity in homes or offices where it is not economical to lay down fiber network, there they would be using FWA, where without laying the fiber optic network, from 5G network itself, you will be getting high-speed connectivity at home or enterprise. And the market of FWA CPE is expected to be very, very high all over the world. Billions of dollars of market is expected of FWA CPE. This is our second partnership we have done with Qualcomm. We expect to launch this product from the beginning of the we expect to put in the field trial with the operators from the beginning of the next calendar year. Revenue expected from the first quarter of the next financial year.
So what would be the revenue opportunity on a quarter-on-quarter basis or year-on-year basis for HFCL?
For these two products?
Yes.
It's very difficult to target, give you a number at this point of time, but I can say that it would be hundreds of crores. It would be hundreds of crores.
Okay. Okay.
Your second question was on exports. Now, as I said in the answer to my previous question of the gentleman, we have been putting a lot of emphasis on exports because if you look at the world market and the Indian market, Indian market is probably, though it's a big market, but probably 5% of the size of the world market, whether it is fiber optic cable or telecom equipment. 95% of the market sits outside our country. So while putting a lot of effort and emphasis on the Indian market, we need to go out of the country to access this 95% of the market also. So if we are able to explore or get into this small percentage of this 95% market, you are able to increase your sales. Now, particularly when you have your own products, your own technologies, your own IPR, you are free to go and market anywhere if your technology is at par with other manufacturers. So what we have seen, we started with fiber optic cable, for example, and as I've mentioned in the figure, we are doubling, almost doubling every year. 21 financial year 193 crores, 22 it became 353 crores. This half year itself it has become 376 crores. So we are on path to reach to 750 crores, which I talked about in my last presentations also. And we expect to continue this trend in future also, because there will be increase in export of fiber optic cable, as well as then there would be export of equipment also. So export is something which, you know, we are putting a lot of emphasis, because that's the 95% of the world market.
Okay. And if you could give me a slight breakup in terms of your order book currently.
Yeah, current order book is about 5,300 crores, which comprises of government and non-government both. Almost 55% is government, 45% is non-government. And we are getting regularly repeat orders from our customers. So we keep on getting 100 crores, 200 crores, 50 crores, 40 crores, 60 crores. We keep on getting orders. Our orders have a regular flow. But the current order book is, as I said, 5,280 crores.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sanghvi from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible, Mr. Sanghvi.
Yes, congratulations, sir, on a very fine set of financials, and the opportunity ahead looks very encouraging. I just wanted to understand two things, sir. One, on the order book that you have announced, how much is that coming from exports, like current order book from exports?
Yeah, well, exports, you know, you don't get large orders in one shot. You know, orders keep on flowing in. So the current order book from export out of 5,300 crores should be about something like 300 crores or so. But, you know, they keep on flowing. Orders, you keep on supplying, orders keep on coming. And we are well within our target to reach to 750 crores, as I was explaining just recently. So orders keep on flowing. So it should be well over 300 crores at this point of time.
And this will be largely OFC orders?
Yeah, this is largely OFC at this point of time.
Okay. Got it, sir. And secondly, sir, we have some pledged shares right now, and I just wanted to understand two things on that front, sir. No,
there are no pledged shares at this moment, Mr. Sanghvi. There are no pledged shares, zero. It's only a non-disposable undertaking. To the institutions, when you take loan from the financial institutions, they take a non-disposable undertaking from the promoters that, you know, promoters should not sell the shares and walk out without informing the institution and taking their approval. That's a normal procedure. So it's a non-disposable undertaking. There is no pledge at all. Zero pledge.
Okay. Because on the exchange, how it shows up is it shows up as a pledge share. So we are not liable, right, in any ways?
No pledge. It is a non-disclosable undertaking. There is no pledge.
It is otherwise encumbered, sir, because exchange does not permit us to, whether it is pledged or otherwise encumbered. There is only one column, so it is basically not pledged. It is otherwise encumbered. That's all, by way of non-disclosable undertaking.
Non-disclosable undertaking, there is no pledge at all.
Got it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we can.
Yeah, Dipesh, Mr. Sancheti, you are very loud and clear. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the question was regarding the fundraising which we had. On 2nd September, we had mentioned about raising of about 650 crores. But after that, there has been no update. So,
the audio is breaking from your line.
I'll repeat again. Do I need to repeat?
Yeah, please go ahead.
I said that on 2nd of September, I mentioned to the exchanges that we are going to raise about 650 crores. But after that, there has been no updates. Like we gave warrants to promoters and non-promoters. There was a separate approval of 650 crores. When is that expected?
Yeah, Mr. Sanchit, you know, warrants have been issued to promoters and key management personnel also subscribe to the warrants, you know, which speaks of confidence the promoters and the key leadership team of the company has in the performance of the company. So that has happened. The next question of yours, whether the fundraise is going to happen or when, we are all at the planning stage at this point of time. What are the kind of capex required, which are the kind of expansion or backward integration we have to do. Once it is finalized, of course, we will come back to you.
Is it expected to happen in this financial year?
It is under consideration, Mr. Sanchetti. I will not be able to say more than that. It is under consideration. The final decision has to be taken by board, but it is under consideration at this point of time.
Okay. Okay. And thank you. Thank you so much. If there's any other question, I'll get back in line. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swapna Kamath from NSFO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. So my question is on, so as I understand, we want our company to be more a products-driven company and less of this turnkey contracts. And as we have seen that this part of the revenue has been coming down consistently, and that is what is our objective as per your previous calls. So, I just wanted to get a sense on where do you see this number stabilizing on the turnkey contracts that, you know, then we will see that this amount of the revenues will continue steady state, and because we are doing some products work, so this much of turnkey will be part of this overall business. How should we look at the business as such? And also on the capital employed that is deployed in the turnkey contracts, so that is substantial. So do we see some amount of cash getting released from there, which can be used for our capex, etc., which might be blocked because of few debtors?
Yeah, Shobhna.
Yeah.
Very good two questions, and I answer each of them. You know, I have been saying from the beginning that, you know, last few calls you would have heard that, you know, we want to be more of a product company, less of a project company. And that, you know, what we decided to go in a manner, it is really happened in that way. If you look at the numbers in financial year 31st March, ended on 31st March 21, our revenue from products was 27%, and from the projects was 73%. Now, it became 43% from products and 57% from projects in financial year ended on 31st March 22. So products became 27 to 43%. Now, if you look at this year, in the you know, year to date, the first 6 months, if you look at our revenue from the products has been 58%, and projects is 42%. Now, just go back and compare. What was 27% in 2021 year ended 31st March is 58% now, and the project revenue is 73% is 42% now. It's a remarkable change, and we expect to continue on this trend and further increase our revenue percentage from products in the next financial year because of this different products of 5G, Wi-Fi, UBR, routers, switches coming in production. This trend is going to continue, and our revenue from products will further increase. But I am not saying that we will not do projects. We will do projects, but which are not highly cash negative. You know, we wouldn't do such projects which are highly cash negative, because doing such projects makes us, you know, heavy burden on the cash flows of the company. So that's why we have gone for more revenue from the products, which has really fructified that approach, and less from the projects. Now, coming to the second question. Yes, we have a very, you know, reasonably good amount of money, as you know, I would not say stuck, but getting delayed in projects, particularly the projects, the defense projects which we are implementing. We still have a receivable of more than 1,000 crores. Now, we have started, implementation, switching on of various parts of this network, and the money has started flowing in. This used to be, this 1,000 plus crores today used to be more than 1,500 crores about a year ago. Now it has come to about 1,000 or 1,100 crores. And we expect that by March, end of March, this financial year, a full network will be switched on. Full network will be switched on. Two more parts of the network we are switching on within next 15 days. two have been switched on, two more would be switched on into maybe within less than a month. So by March we expect to complete and then reach major part of this money within next 4 to 6 months time. So with this major release of this money, which is about 1,000 crore or so, a lot of money would flow back into the company, which will decrease pressure on working capital and release more money for capex also. You are right on track. You have a good question that yes, there is a delay in payment for this particular project, not because of any fault of the company, but because of customer did not do its own part of work, which is construction of infrastructure on which we were to install equipment, and various other reasons related to customer, nothing to do with the company, which delayed the payment. But now we are on track, and I think by March, major portion of this money would be realized, which will increase the cash flow of the company, which will make the money available for more working capital as well as for capex.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot for the detailed answer. And so I really appreciate that point, and it's pretty commendable that the telecom products revenue run rate is now almost 671 quarterly run rate. That's pretty significant from where we were. So, but sir, if you can just give me an idea as to this turnkey, you said you will continue doing these contracts, but I mean, if we say that, you know, this is the number, if we are projecting this particular segment, then how do we look at it? Like, number we should look at in the overall pie, like a 25% or like 15% of the overall revenues?
Look, you know, when I say we will continue to do, which are not cash negative.
Okay.
For example, I will tell you. The private operators network we are implementing, you know, like for Jio what we are doing. It's not major cash negative, you know, payments are received within 30 days and, you know, there is absolutely no issue of cash flows, you know. There's no reason why we cannot continue to do that. Maybe profitability could be low, but since the working capital investment is not there, there's no reason why we should not do that. Now, we are also looking at some contracts of this nature in export market, in European market. And maybe we would be getting some small contract in very, very soon in one of the major European countries. And we intend to increase our presence in international market in implementation, because that is highly profitable, and they are very quality conscious people, so they don't give projects to small companies, and profitability is much better. So we intend to increase our presence in the international market in project implementation. And international, when I say, I'm talking of developed countries like, you know, West European countries or America, you know, such kind of countries. And also government, you know, wherever the projects are, funding is poor, we will not participate into that. But wherever the funding is ensured in a manner that, while implementation is going on, large percentage of capex is made available to us within that implementation period, we would look at such projects only. So I would say in terms of percentages, you can say that 25% or so revenue would keep on coming from the project side, which are less involvement of working capital and more profitable.
Understood. And so lastly, one last question on the defense side. You mentioned about the opportunity, competition, etc. Could you give a ballpark idea as to what kind of margins would they be similar to what we earn in the telecom products, or are they different in the electronic fuse and electro-optics, etc.?
If you say the market is, you know, whichever place you go, defense or otherwise, the market is always competitive. You know, there is no cakewalk kind of a market. So I would say the margins would be similar to what you get in a normal telecom business, maybe a couple of percentage or 2-3% extra, because not anybody and everybody can enter into this market because of very strict entry conditions and the quality and performance conditions. So it could be 2-3% extra, some 20-30% higher than what you get into the normal telecom business. But yes, you know, market is competitive, but yes, a bit of a 20-30% extra percentage you can get as a profit.
Thank you. Ms. Kamath, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions?
Yeah, thank you. I'm done.
The next question is from the line of Anant Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a very good set of numbers. My questions are also on the defense opportunity that you have listed, because that's a very exciting part, and the kind of entry barriers that it has, I'm certain that it must have taken us a very long time. I just want to understand what kind of capex have we done in order to be where we are right now. That's my first question. The second question is on the fuses side. What I have come to understand is that it requires approval by ARDE, which is like a part of DRDO. So do we have the ARDE approval for all the three types of fuses that we are looking to make? That's my first question. Now I'll ask further questions on I get answer to this.
Look, you know, we have spent about 50 crores or so in development of this fuses and electro-optic devices. This is the, you know, this is R&D expenditure. You can call it capex, and we have spent about 50 crores on that. Now, coming to this fuses, you know, of course, it requires the approval of ARDE, and also not only that, DGQA also. This is Director General Quality Assurance in the Indian Army. And as I said, that testing has been going on, and there are certain issues which are happening, which the whole Indian industry has protested that, you know, testing has to be redone, and that is under consideration of the government. It has still not been totally, you know, decided, so it is under consideration. The tender is yet to be opened, and let us see when they decided when they open.
So the questions here, because I have been tracking this since a very long time, because 10 years back also, like, these tenders had come, and then, you know, you had all this ECIL kind of colluding with MOD, and then there is a South African company which used to come in and supply these fuses to ECIL. So that, are the issues political in nature or technical in nature? That is my another question. And the last question, because last time it was clearly, you know, I don't need to call it on a conf call.
I would not use the word colluding or political or all that. You know, that's not in my domain to comment. But yes, there are technical issues. I would definitely say there are technical issues. Earlier, the supply was being made by ECIL, of course, with the participation of a South African company. And then of late, Bell has also come into picture in participation with an Israeli company. But our is a total own development. But yes, the issues that are being faced are technical, not, you know, I wouldn't call it political or colluding. These are not the words I would use. But yes, technical issues are there, which are being sorted out with the Army, whether DGQA or ARD or anything. There are multiple agencies are there in the Army who try, you know. It's not DGQA or ARD alone. The user trials are there. User themselves try. So there are multiple levels of testing, which is really taking time, and the entry barrier we are experiencing ourselves, you know.
Last one question on the same thing is that, are the issues only limited to our company or like, you know, other competitors that we have, are they having different set of issues, are the issues common for all of us? And finally, you know, what I've come to understand from HBL is that there is a tender for grenade fuses, in which they say that, you know, they are clear to go. What is our positioning there?
Look, you know, the issues are, technical issues are common to all the companies, all the private sector companies are more or less common, you know. If there are 100 deficient technical parameters, somebody will have two or somebody will have three, but almost common with all private sectors. The grenade fuses, we are not part of that. I have not taken part into any grenade fuse kind of a situation. We are not there at all.
Okay, great, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahendra Nahata for closing comments.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and the ladies for attending this earning call of HFCL. And as I said, company is on the right path of growth, right path of progress. It has become a technology-led telecom equipment, products and fiber optic cable manufacturing company. There's a lot of backward integration to increase the profitability. Again, with emphasis to go into export market, we are increasing our revenues from that side of the business. With the increase in exports of fiber optic cable and equipment in the next year, we further expect to increase our market share in the export market. We are on the right track to become a product-led company, which I have shown by the data that how we have increased our revenue from products. we are on the path of expansion of our product range, and also on the size of our fiber optic cable and fiber manufacturing facility. All that would lead to continue to lead the company in the growth phase, which is happening today in the country with the 5G rollout, FTTH rollout, not only India, all over the world this kind of thing is happening. So opportunities are exciting, market is big, opportunities are exciting, and the company has taken all the right steps to take part of this opportunity and grow with the market growth. The company also expects to grow in the coming financial years. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.